All right. Welcome, everybody. Today is February 28, 2021. This is a live teleservice. Mary Craig Ministries. Our series is The Kingdom of God. Today's teaching sermon is The Hope of the Kingdom of God, Part 2. The Kingdom is Already, But Not Yet. And I'm Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for his radical obedience, a perfect personal perpetual obedience. We thank you for that life. And we thank you, Lord, for his death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, iniquity, transgression, trespass, lawlessness, unrighteousness, and basically cosmic treason. And Lord God, we thank you that he rose again from the third day, on the third day, and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. We thank you, Lord, and we for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you, God. We pray this, Lord, as we come on bended knee with our heads bowed in humility before you, we pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, that you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, to reveal Jesus Christ to us, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. And we know, Lord, that Jesus Christ has triumphed over the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name and made a spectacle of the devil. All right. So, we demonstrated that the Word of God divides the course of God's redemptive purpose into two ages, this age and the age to come. These two ages are separated by the second coming, or by the second advent, or the coming again of Christ, and the resurrection from the dead. The kingdom of God belongs to the age to come and will be fully realized in that age. But the age to come is already as well as not yet. There is an overlap. The blessings of the age to come are not exclusive to the future, but are even now part of our present experience in this age. Hebrews 6, verse 5 is a hypothetical, part of a hypothetical, that speaks of those who have, quote, tasted of the powers of the age to come, unquote. That which belongs to the future has become present. While we still live in this present evil age, while Satan is still the god of this age, we taste of the powers of the age to come. This is more than a promise. It is experience. Just as we can taste and see that the Lord is good, so also we have tasted the powers of the age to come. In Galatians 1, verse 4, we read that Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. This is because the power of the age to come reaches back and projects itself in the person of Christ into the present evil age, so that we, by the power of the age to come, may be delivered from this present evil age. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the power of the age to come, reaching back into this present evil age, we can be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We experience a new power that we might thereby prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is indeed the power of the kingdom of God. We experience this power through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 to 26. God's kingdom will be fully realized as Christ reigns until he has put all his enemies under his feet. When these enemies are at last subdued, Christ will hand over the kingdom of God to God. The kingdom of God, therefore, is the reign of God through Christ, destroying the enemies of God's reign. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And remember, Jesus Christ is God. This is not accomplished by a single great act, but in three stages. Christ is the first fruits. After that, they that are Christ at his coming. And after that comes the end, when Christ delivers up the kingdom of God to God, his Father. The resurrection began with the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection, capital R, began with the resurrection of Christ. At the parousia, there will be a resurrection of those who belong to Christ. After that comes the end, a resurrection of the rest of the dead, similar to what is pictured in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and following. Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also," John 14, verse 19. This is the power of his resurrection, Philippians 3, verse 10, and the resurrection life which we may now share, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Jesus' resurrection is an eschatological occurrence, plunked right into the midst of history. We are living on the heavenward side of the first stage of the resurrection. Heaven has already begun because the resurrection has already begun to take place. Christ is the first fruits. The kingdom of God means the defeat of the enemies of God. Who are God's enemies? Well, those who are friends of the world are the enemies of God. Those who indulge in the deeds of the flesh are the enemies of the Holy Spirit. Those with pride, because God resists the proud. Those who indulge in the works of darkness, because Jesus came to destroy the works of darkness and tells the workers of iniquity to depart from him, that he never knew them. And the last enemy is death, and Satan and all things antichrist are the enemies of God. The kingdom of God is now. Through Christ, sin, Satan, and death are defeated. Jesus bore the penalty for our sin, and in doing so, the power of sin, and thus of Satan and death, is broken. Someday we will be fully delivered from the presence of sin, and thus of Satan and death. You can have much of it now. Hebrews 2, verse 14. We are human beings, and Jesus partook of the same nature as we are, being a divine person with a divine nature, who took upon himself a human nature to partake of the same, and in a human body, flesh. Why? That through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Satan has been destroyed by the death of Christ, if you care to believe it. The word for destroy here is the Greek katargeo, literally to put out of action, to render inoperative. Jesus' death has curtailed Satan's power. The cross is the initial defeat of Satan. Christ made of him a public spectacle. The good news of the kingdom of God is characterized by healing and by the casting out of demons. Jesus proclaimed the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and demonstrated it by delivering people from the bondage of Satan, Matthew 12:21-28. God is now acting among people to deliver them from bondage to Satan. God in Christ is doing something, attacking the very kingdom of Satan. Casting out demons is proof that the kingdom of God has come among people and is at work among us. Jesus is coming in glory, but his power has already penetrated this age. Satan is not yet destroyed, as he will be in the lake of fire. He is not yet bound, as he will be in the abyss. But Satan is being defeated now, Matthew 12:29. Satan is the strong man, and his house is this age. His goods are people, demon-possessed men and women. Jesus comes and has bound Satan to enter into Satan's realm and spoil his goods. Satan was bound in the wilderness and defeated on the cross. What kind of chain binds a spirit being? The binding of Satan means that the coming of Christ, his presence on earth, the exercise of his power among people has accomplished a defeat of Satan, so that his power is broken. Satan is bound, therefore people can be delivered from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So actually, when we bind Satan, we say we bind Satan. The reference is actually that which we bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. It shall have been bound. Satan is bound, and when we bind him, we're coming into agreement with that on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 10:9-14. Why judgment on cities that reject? Because the kingdom of God had come near to them. The healing of the sick was evidence of the presence of the kingdom of God. The signs of the kingdom were manifest. Its power was at work. Rejecting that power meant rejecting the kingdom of God, and rejecting the kingdom of God could result only in fearful judgment. Satan has been thrown down from the pinnacle of his power. He has fallen like lightning from heaven. His power has come tumbling down. Look, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Demons are cast out. People are delivered from the power of Satan and entering into the power and the life and blessing of the kingdom of God. The atoning work of Jesus Christ has value in that it was the work of a divine person. Christ was born of a woman, made of a woman, to redeem people, Galatians 4:4. He took part in our flesh and blood to destroy death, Hebrews 2:14. And let's note this. There are two words there in Hebrews 2:14-15. One is koinoneo, which is where we get koinonia from, Greek 2:8-41. It means to come into communion or fellowship, to become a sharer, to participate, to be made a partner. Jesus was manifest. Wait a minute. Going on here. Okay, well, another word, oh, here, another word is used there, too. It's called metekos, or meteko, Greek 3:3-4:8, and that means to take part in the same thing. It is a more restricted sense than koinonos, or which, from which we get koinonia. I want to add this note here. The passage deserves special notice, for it not only confirms the reality of the human nature of Christ, but also shows the benefit which thence flows to us. The Son of God, he says, became man, that he might partake of the same condition and nature with us. What could be said more fitted to confirm our faith? Here, his infinite love towards us appears, but its overflowing appears in this, that he put on our nature, that he might thus make himself capable of dying. For as God, he could not undergo death. And though he refers but briefly to the benefits of his death, yet there is in this brevity of words a singularly striking and powerful representation, and that is that he has so delivered us from the tyranny of the devil that we are rendered safe, and that he has so redeemed us from death that it is no longer to be dreaded. And that is John Calvin from his commentaries on Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3, verse 8. He came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Jesus has come conquering and to conquer. We don't have it all yet. We don't have the full consummation of the covenant yet, but most Christians have far less than they could experience now. The question is, are we preparing for the glory of the kingdom of God? Will we be ready for Christ at his coming again? Do we know the power of the resurrection and walk in that power now? This is a real, you know, gnawing thing at me, that people just go on their way and they could have so much more now in this lifetime. And not talking about cars and houses and money and whatever, bunch of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we can have spiritually and life and coming closer to God the Father, coming closer to the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And people settle for so much less. And they just figure, oh, you know, I've heard them say to me, well, that's just the way I am. God just has to understand. Does he? That may be the way we are, but that's not the way we necessarily have to be. Through the Holy Spirit, we are becoming what God has declared us to be. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to truly sanctify us, we will have a whole lot more. We will. Including having our prayers heard and answered according to God's sovereign will. He is sovereign and he is holy. So let's not settle for less. What is the blessing of God's rule? It is the breaking of the power of sin, the breaking of the power of Satan, the breaking of the power of the world's systems, and the breaking of the power of death. All of the power of the devil to hurt us is destroyed or restrained. His tyranny has been abolished. He's a tyrant. Don't listen to him. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 in full. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, I found this word that the Lord gave me back in December 10, 2010. And I'm just going to share that. I am the Lord your God in the midst of you, bringing the gospel of the kingdom, my kingdom, which prevails against the kingdom of darkness. I am bringing you out of darkness into the light by the light of my countenance. As you behold me and my light shines upon you and you draw near and are drawn to come near to me, my countenance shines forth to dispel the darkness and bring peace. Do not fear my countenance, for if you are clothed in the righteousness of my Son, Jesus the Christ, and believe on him, you may come to me in all confidence that I will receive you. I will forgive your sin and your iniquity, that you may approach to receive mercy and grace, blessing, the blessing of my countenance. Look me in the face, for I am your healer, your deliverer, your savior, your Lord. Bow in humility and worship, yes, but I desire that you behold me full face. I desire to love you, to see your heart adoring me, acknowledging me as the great I am, your creator, your redeemer. I desire to heal your hurts, break the power of evil and sin and the power of Satan and his lies in your life. I desire to put truth, my truth, in the inward parts, that truth be your core, that you might walk in truth. My heart churns within me, for I see the suffering. I am indeed touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I see the unbelief, the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge of me and my ways. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, but know that many will know my mercy and my grace. Seek me for this grace and favor. I am sovereign Lord. I am king and rule with all authority and power. Will you be my enemy or will you be my friend? To this we say amen. And I want to close with praying 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. Father God, we just thank you. You are holy and you are sovereign and you will have mercy on whom you will have mercy. But we thank you, Lord, that because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection and his ascension into glory, Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way in our time of need. And so, Lord God, I lift up 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58 to you. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And this, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the one who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Lord God, may you grant the grace and power to believe for this glorious resurrection body. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.